not just talking the talk, but walking the walk.
Welcome to NPD Soundbites from ANPD, the Association for Nursing Professional Development.
This is the NPD Forecast. Your hosts, Jen Bodine and Jillian Russell, are nursing professional development specialists with years of dynamic NPD experience. Jen and Jill round out ANPD's Nursing Professional Development Practice Team and are your personal environmental scanning forecasters. This podcast series features topics that are relevant to the forecasting of future trends for NPD practice and discusses implications that you can apply to your daily practice.
Welcome, everyone, to the NPD Forecast. I'm Jillian Russell.
And I'm Jen Bodine. Joining us today to speak about the role of Champion for Scientific Inquiry is Kathleen Opperman, a director on ANPD's Board of Directors. Dr. Kathleen Opperman is a professional development nurse specialist at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. Raised in Toledo, Ohio, a graduate of the University of Cincinnati, Wright State University, and the Ohio State University, she considers herself an all-Ohio girl. Kathleen is board certified in nursing professional development, advanced nurse executive, and pediatric nursing. Kathleen's first intrigue with clinical inquiry started with a week-long EBP course at Case Western Reserve University back in the 1990s. Then she met Dr. Bernadette Melnick in 2011, and all things EBP went into overdrive. She teaches and mentors individuals and teams through the full institute at Ohio State while stimulating EBP changes at Nationwide Children's. Very active in NNSDO and now ANPD, Dr. Opperman has served on multiple committees and co-authored the series and Journal of Nursing Professional Development entitled Measuring ROI for Professional Development Activities. In addition, she was the chapter author in the ANPD core curriculum on program evaluation, measuring impact at the organizational level. Her publications clearly demonstrate her drive to get better outcomes, but her passion is teaching and mentoring others in the process to make changes based on evidence. And I'm happy to say that I've known Kathleen for about 6 years when I met her when she was facilitating an EBP immersion that I attended at The Ohio State. And that is where our relationship began. And I actually use her as my EBP mentor when I have any evidence-based practice questions. So welcome, Kathleen. We're so excited to have you today.
Well, I'm pretty excited to be here. And after that introduction, I'm like, hey, that sounds really great. Whoever that person is.
Well, we think you're kind of a big deal. So thank you so much for being here. One of the roles of nursing professional development practitioner is champion for scientific inquiry. In this role, the NPD practitioner promotes the generation and dissemination of new knowledge and the use of evidence to advance NPD practice, guide clinical practice, and improve patient care. Standard 9 in the NPD scope and standards outlines competencies for how NPD practitioners act as champions of scientific inquiry, generating new knowledge, and integrating best available evidence into practice. So to analyze this role, we're going to do a deep dive into the competencies within Standard 9 and discuss the implications and strategies for performing these competencies. Kathleen, would you tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a champion for scientific inquiry?
Wow, I've been on this journey for a long time. The role of champion for scientific inquiry is the essential first step for all things EBP, research, and honestly, it should be the beginning for all quality improvement. When a clinician has a question, a wondering, a ponder of, isn't there a better way? This is clinical inquiry. Well, my clinical inquiry journey is loaded with evidence-based practice. That's kind of the pathway I've taken. As Jill mentioned, in the mid-90s, I participated in a week-long course at Case Western Reserve University. And boy, I remember coming home all revved up to an organization that was nowhere near ready to act. And after you try to use your new knowledge and your strategies, and it results in walls and barriers, you slow down or you stop trying. So then in 2011, I met Dr. Bernadette Melnick in Arizona in a two-day EBP course. Oh, God, I got all excited again. She had just accepted her current position at The Ohio State University, which was my own backyard. And so since then, I have participated in their fabulous five-day immersion course from CTEP. Some of you have heard of that, Center for Transdisciplinary Evidence-Based Practice. And I quickly started acting as a facilitator for them, an instructor for their immersions. I'd say in the last 9 years, I've probably worked with over 30 tables of learners on their EBP projects. And Jen, when you mentioned where you met me, I remember where you met me. And then when you were starting to do table facilitation yourself, co-working with me, that was great. Now CTEP is part of a larger group. It's called the Helena Fold Health Trust National Institute for Evidence-Based Practice in Nursing and Healthcare. Obviously a mouthful. Most of us just call it the Fold. One more key growth on my journey, because we really have to hit these big milestones. While I was on the education committee for ANPD, we did a member needs assessment that showed that ANPD or NPD practitioners needed more on return on investment for professional development activities. So of course our group was looked around for an expert who could do a webinar or do something, and we couldn't find anybody. So our little group decided to make an EBP project of it. And this was quite a journey. Our PICO question was, how do healthcare organizations with effective professional development programs measure the return on investment for professional development activities? So this was a meaning type of question. Well, from that literature search came a series of articles, the Measuring Return on Investment for Professional Development Activities. And there are two things that I want to talk about with those articles today. One, how to make financial impact calculations with common professional development programming examples. And the second is, now I don't know another way to say it, but our famous known cost table is included in the 2016 article, then the update in 2018. And those are published costs that we gathered from lots of different publications that you can use in your calculations. It has things like the average cost of orienting a new RN, the average cost of a catheter-associated urinary tract infection, the average cost of readmission to the hospital. And so it's all put in that one place so that when whatever it is you're teaching has some kind of influence on one of those outcomes, you can do the counterbalance cost-wise using those numbers. My co-authors and I are now working on a follow-up article, and you'll have a new known cost table. The current one is on the NPD, ANPD website. These are some big milestones in my clinical inquiry journey. The clear lesson learned is even when you don't know about something or feel you are the expert, immerse yourself in exploring and you will develop that skill set.
Gosh, Kathleen, your journey is so inspiring, and I would love to hear more. How about a specific example of how NPD practitioners, and you in particular, use best evidence to guide your practice?
Wow. Many, many examples come to mind, actually. Let's take the learning curve in the memory research. This tells us that NPD practitioners need to provide memory boosts of significant content and frequent revisits to make it stick. Plenty of evidence on that. Another might be the research on microlearning. It tells us that learners get overwhelmed with these 8-hour crash courses and only absorb small parts of it. So we need to change from those traditional modalities to adding these micro learning, for example, infographics, badge buddies, reminder cards on supplier equipment, QR codes for just-in-time refreshers, electronic resources that people can get access to 24/7, maybe have little videos on them or quick refreshers or checklists. Questions of the day, that's a great one for review courses. There's lots of micro learning opportunities and the evidence is heavy on that. Let's see, preceptor, that's another one, preceptor development. The evidence of successes in the literature paints a very clear picture of what content is needed. So don't be just making up a list of things you think preceptors need. Be sure you look at the literature. There's also a lot on how the learning modalities regarding preceptor development that best prepare preceptors. For example, make sure you start with a self-paced, interactive, computer-based learning of concepts and content so that people can take it at their own pace and 24/7. You need to follow it with some kind of workshop with scenarios and practice communication and giving feedback, because that's a real challenge for preceptors. So in their development, they really need that. And then the other is you can't quit there. You have to provide preceptors with ongoing development opportunities and resources to continue their development and to get that just-in-time boost on something. So the literature tells us all of that.
Kathleen, I would be remiss if I did not mention the brain-based learning quick reference guide that ANPD does have available for our NPD community. So Kathleen, you spoke of brain-based learning techniques and how important that neuroscience component is to our NPD practice. And that quick reference guide is something I would encourage all NPD practitioners, all PD associates to have on your bookshelf at your office. So
I agree. I totally agree.
And then the micro learning webinar that Jen Bodine and I had the opportunity to co-present, micro learning, the best things come in small packages. That webinar recording is now available through Lippincott, as that was a jointly provided webinar opportunity that was live earlier in July. So I'd like to transition just a bit to a supportive environment within the world of nursing research. How do you create a supportive environment for nursing research, scientific inquiry, quality improvement, and evidence-based practice in your practice setting, Kathleen?
I think you need to look at the ANPD's nursing professional development practice model, because it really gives us a framework for this. We should be continually scanning the practice and the world environments for learning needs, which requires opportunities to talk with and survey our teams. That's the perfect opportunity to not only find learning needs, but to hear those questions, hear those inquiries, hear those, there's got to be a better way. They are best sourced for those practice questions, whether there are questions that lead to you sharing a resource that's already available, or it starts them on a discovery of best practice. The NPD practitioner is kind of a knowledge broker, making those connections that they don't know about. I'm currently using three of the roles described in practice model on a single project: the champion of inquiry, change agent, and mentor. And this project is our shared governance congress took on the challenge of trying to improve the patient satisfaction scores regarding the hospital environment is conducive to rest. Needless to say, our scores weren't as good as we wanted them to be. I joined the group as a mentor, a change agent consultant, and their clinical inquiry guide. We searched the literature for best practices, and we've moved through all the steps to implementation of designated quiet times on 5 of the units that we're targeting. In most organizations, the average bedside nurse does not have the experience or the organizational savvy to navigate a problem, to a clinical inquiry, to discovery of best practices, to implementation, and then measurement of the results. NPD practitioners are equipped to be essential members of those project teams.
Kathleen, that's so true. NPD really does, I find, infiltrate every area of the hospital. And I often equate it, one of my favorite sayings from my big fat Greek wedding is, you know, he's the head and I'm the neck. And I always consider NPD being the neck because we help with the movement of things in a positive direction when we're given the opportunity. Unfortunately, sometimes we really have to fight for that opportunity. We run into a lot of barriers with things we want to do, including evidence-based practice. So I always encourage people to make sure that they're aligning themselves with their organization's strategic plan, because that, along with the evidence, really helps them to support an argument for why they should be doing particular interventions. Could you speak to us a little bit about how you align research and EBB activities to your organization's strategic plan?
Well, that, in my case, is fairly straightforward because Nationwide Children's, at the center of our mission is, and this is the center circle, integrated clinical care and research. And so it's automatic that we are always seeking, what does the research say and how can we get it into practice as soon as possible? Actually, we recently have moved both EBP and research under the umbrella of clinical inquiry. We have a nurse researcher now in our department, and we are planning on an educational coaching year-long course to move small groups through a process of problem clinical inquiry to either the QI, EBP, or research, wherever the clinical inquiry goes. Unfortunately, thanks to COVID, we have had false starts, holds, delays. So we are working on making it even more flexible and resource laden. Stay tuned for that one.
So it sounds like you already have it set up there where you're aligning with your organization's strategic plan. What are your recommendations for people who don't have that kind of infrastructure and are struggling to get EBP into their hospital settings and getting to, you know, the point where they have created this this culture of inquiry?
I would say you have to bite it off piece by piece. For example, how can you, within your department, the things that you can control, how can you infuse EBP? For example, do you have it in your transition to practice program? Do you have it for your summer externs, you know, your students who are there for the summer before they graduate? Do you have evidence-based projects that you do from an education perspective, and are you getting them published? Boy, that draws attention. Then the next step I would say is job descriptions. Do you have the verbiage of clinical inquiry in job descriptions? These are visible things in your organization. Then you move it up the line with your senior leadership to say, hey, our mission and our vision of our organization needs to twine in that we base our practice on the evidence of research.
I love that. I think evidence-based practice is so extremely important, and research and bringing that new knowledge in is key. And I know that we really are trying to focus on that with NPD, but it's equally important to be able to make that research become a reality. And that's where that EBP bridge is so very important, with us bringing that into our organizations. So you've already spoken a little bit about how you participate in research activities, but could you go a little more in depth in how you participate in those and QI initiatives at various levels of your organization?
There are many different ways. I am part of a team from my department doing research on a method for doing learning needs assessments. So I'm hoping that we have some good news on that one. Another, I consult with educators and managers all over our organization on evidence-based initiatives. And sometimes it's what they think is evidence-based initiatives, and I can help them see the reality. Another would be certainly all the work with DNP and master's students that I connect with as their advisor, and I help them navigate the system for their projects. And wow, we've done preceptor work, lateral violence course, sickle cell for non-HEMOC units. Those are some of the projects that kind of come to mind with those students. And certainly have taught various courses on EBP to project groups. And when we felt that wasn't getting to completion because there seemed to be barriers in leadership, that following year we said, okay, we need to teach the leadership how to facilitate practice changes in their area. So those are all kinds of ways that we weave the research and the QI.
I have another question that just popped into my head. So I'm a frontline nurse, or I am an NPD practitioner who has no idea what EBP really is. How do I get started so that I'm sure that I'm following all those steps of the EBP process? So like, how do I get started within my organization? What are my resources?
I think that really depends on your organization. Some organizations are very structured already. They have a whole EBP, department in place. They have an intake process where you got an idea. It might even be an electronic form. You fill this out and then somebody comes back to you to say, hey, that's QI and here's your contact. Hey, that's EBP. Here's your contact. Hey, that's research. Here's your contact. A lot have courses already set up. They do it four times a year or two times a year or whatever it is. Now, let's say you're in a place that doesn't have that, or a place that's wishing to have that, or working on having that. There are a lot of outside resources. We've already mentioned the Fold. They have all kinds of material. We've already mentioned a number of things that AMPD has to offer, including the EBP Academy. Hello. And so there are multiple ways that you can step up your skill set as an NPD practitioner, and then you filter that through to your team members.
Kathleen, as we start to wrap up our conversation today, one question that may be heavy on some of our listeners' minds as it relates to being a champion for scientific inquiry is dissemination of work. Can you speak to us a little bit about the importance of NPD practitioners disseminating their findings, disseminating the work that they're involved in?
Yes, yes, yes. This is a big one. My co-authors, Deb Liebig, Dr. Judy Bowling, Dr. Sue Johnson, and I have repeatedly searched the literature measuring the return on investment for professional development activities articles. And our desire was to find examples of how NPD practitioners implemented programs or learning activities and measured their outcomes at a level higher than self-report of I'm comfortable with the information or some kind of knowledge check like a post-test. We are looking for the return on investment for these learning activities. In 2016, there were only 11 articles over the previous 10 years that included this higher level of program evaluation. In 2018, we updated the known cost table and reported on only four more over that previous 3 years that were published. Currently, we are searching literature for dissemination of outcomes for this next article, and there are a few more, but not near as many as we had hoped for. As NPD practitioners, we need to be aligning our learning activities with outcomes. Of course, the learning event is not the only contributor to an outcome, but it has a part in the success or the failure, how we did our education. We need to be in the habit of disseminating all those good and not so good educational interventions so that we stop wasting time on the ones that don't work and we stop wasting resources on knee-jerk responses of teach them something, fix them. We know that it's not always about teaching them knowledge. Often it's system or reminder or some other kind of accountability. As change agents, leaders, and champions for clinical inquiry, if we had a larger source of implementation educational activities reported in the literature, we could use that to make the case for the right kind of education in the right kind of setting and situation. We could better advocate for resources needed to develop and to maintain the competency of our team members. So please, all of you listening, do two things for the improvement of healthcare. Rather big goal. One, measure the impact of your learning activities. Two, report it in the literature so we can collectively use it all to make healthcare better.
I love that, Kathleen, because you gave everyone the ability to disseminate when you said, even when things don't work out, fail forward. Jillian, how often do I say that? Fail forward, because other people can learn from your mistakes. And when you start spreading your knowledge and experience around, people can build on that and capitalize on it and eventually find a solution to it. But when you keep yourself in a silo, nothing can happen. And then the same problems start occurring everywhere and we never end up fixing them. So thank you so much for pointing that out. That's such an important point to make.
That makes me think of Facebook. I know this is strange. You know how Facebook is beautiful and perfect people and, you know, nobody puts their ugly hair days or their, you know, kids in trouble days. They always put their beautiful family pictures and gorgeous food or whatever it is up there. Same thing with disseminating. If everybody just puts their gorgeous things and, you know, we don't learn how that cake flopped or, you know, how to deal with a child who's, you know, really challenged in high school or something that, oh, you know, this person had that experience. So we have got to get some of that out there so that we can learn from it, not just the pretty parts.
Wow, this has been such great conversation, Kathleen. There are a number of resources that I would like to recap, and the first being a series of articles published in the Journal for Nurses and Professional Development entitled Measuring ROI for Professional Development Activities, three of which are now available, and Kathleen Opperman is the first author, so those should be easily searchable, but we'll be sure to list those out for you in the podcast discussion forum. Don't forget, there's also a fourth article in the works, so Kathleen, we really look forward to seeing that one come to fruition. There are also two resources available at www.anpd.org, the Tools and Resources tab, and then select NPD Practitioner Resources. The first being an environmental scanning toolkit. The second is the current known cost table, both of which are resources Kathleen had mentioned earlier in the podcast. And then finally, ANPD's Evidence-Based Practice Academy. This academy is aligned with the Fold Institute's EBP certificate, and academy participants have the opportunity to disseminate their work via poster presentations at ANPD's annual convention, the next of which will be taking place March 22nd through the 25th in San Antonio, Texas. In fact, we also have a general session planned for some EBP participants to share the outcomes of their EBP initiatives. Now, you might be wondering, how can I be a part of this EBP Academy? There is time for you to mull that over, but more importantly, to have some important conversations with your leadership, with your team, and advocate for your participation in this academy. Although our next application window does not open until June of 2022, this is your time to build your case. We encourage you to leverage our justification letter that is available through anpd.org. If you navigate to the education tab, you will see NPD Evidence-Based Practice Academy, and you can explore all we have to offer for academy participants. All right, listeners, we do want to hear from you, so I direct you all to our discussion board for comments. If you have any other questions for Kathleen, we encourage you to post on this thread, Champion for Scientific Inquiry, in the podcast discussion forum. You can access this discussion forum through the Tools and Resources tab, again, at www.anpd.org, and choose the podcast forum, and then you will see this episode's topic. You can listen to our podcast series by subscribing to the NPD Forecast on the ANPD website via the podcast page or wherever you stream your favorite podcast via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Kathleen.
This NPD Forecast series analyzes information gathered through environmental scanning. Our goal at ANPD is to be your leading resource for NPD practice. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star rating on your preferred podcast platform, as well as a review. And if you feel so inclined, share with your friends and colleagues on social media. Be sure to tag ANPD when you do. Those ratings and reviews help us grow this platform and extend our reach. As NPD practitioners, we know our strength is in our sense of community. So the more you share the NPD forecast, the more valuable this environmental scanning resource will be. We would love to hear from you and encourage you to post podcast topic recommendations in the podcast discussion forum available on our website.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit our website at anpd.org.